ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
A boat functions in the water. It has to. A boat sitting on a trailer is useless, right? You put it in the water, you start the engine, you move. We as Christians go out into that world and we move. But as soon as water starts getting into the boat sinks. And as soon as water or the world gets into our lives, we begin to sink. And that's just what the enemy has done with the church. It has brought the world into the church and the church is sinking. It doesn't know right from wrong anymore. It doesn't understand what God wants, or it negates what God wants. We got to be careful. Samson knew he was not to marry outside the children of Israel, especially the Philistines. They were a perennial enemy to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 through 4. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. And what does Samson do? Mom, Dad, get her for me. I want her. Get her for me. He demands that his parents get this woman for him as a wife. I think Samson let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life control his life instead of the Spirit of God. You think, well, how does that even apply to us today? Well, I kind of touched on it, but I think it's important to drive this point home. We are not to hang around the enemy or the camp of those who are not saved. In other words, don't go looking around for something that you should not be looking for. It's not that we're not to speak with sinners. Of course we are. We're to go to sinners, share our faith with them. Jesus went and ministered to them, right? He didn't condone their sin or join in, but he brought them to God. But we have to be careful and not go after the things that God has warned us not to go after. And we're not to date or marry an unbeliever. I know that's not a popular thing for me to say. But it's what God has said. Verses I'm sure you're familiar with. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, again, this is not only speaking of marriage, it's speaking of partnerships and business relationships as well. But the key is, the Lord says, come out from among them. Don't go dwelling with them. Don't go fellowshipping with them. And they can't be your best friend. Why? Because you will be unequally yoked. And I realize some get angry. But that's just what God said. And we'll see with Samson, when you start rebelling against God, when you start disobeying him, it kind of just spirals and it gets more. Well, I'm okay with this. What about this? There are consequences. And think about it. If you're dating or marrying an unbeliever, you have two people moving in the opposite direction. One towards God, the other away from God. And it usually happens not when they're dating. It usually happens after you're married. You know, you got an unbeliever and a believer. And when you're dating, the unbeliever will do anything. They'll go to church. They'll do whatever you want to do. But after you're married, things change. Paul talks about, it's like having two animals yoked together that are unequal. An ox and a donkey, let's say. How is that going to work? You got an ox and a donkey, they're not going to be able to pull the same. They may go in opposite directions. And that's not a good thing. What we are seeing here in the life of Samson is that he has no respect for God. And this is really obvious. And we'll see it as we continue on. You know, when Samson is fighting against the Philistines, you think, oh, good job, Samson. Understand why he's fighting against the Philistines. They did something to him. They hurt his feelings. They made him mad. It wasn't for the honor of God or the glory of God or to help the children of Israel. He was a one-man show. I don't even think he had any friends in Israel. He never joined with the children of Israel to fight against the Philistines. It was always Samson. He was the only one. What was going on in his life? Was he so self-centered that no one wanted to be around him? Even in this marriage, there are no children of Israel coming to his marriage. Does anyone find that strange? They end up getting Philistines to come and be like his best men because there's no children of Israel. I think Samson, for a large part of his life, when he was younger, was a rebel. And I don't know if his parents, what they tried to do, but boy, he's in trouble here. Let me share this with you, and it'll lead to our next point. We're told this: I was raised during a time when parents taught their children to be respectful. I was taught how to say yes, sir, or no, sir, and to respect what other people had. I was taught that the house of God, no matter what religion or race it belonged to, was God's house and grounds it, and that you respected and honored it. If I ever talked back to my parents and disrespected them, as I see some children do today, I would not be able to sit down for a week because they would have taken me back and put the rod of punishment on the place that God put on mankind to receive the punishment. I was never slapped in the face or beaten on the arms or legs until they bled, but punishment was placed where it was intended to be placed. Part of our problems in our nation today is founded in the lack of respect for God, parents, authority, and others. We have a selfish society of what can I get out of this instead of what can I do for others. The problem that we see is that people have no fear of God because they don't know who he is. They only see a building and not the one that occupies the building. America may be known as a Christian nation, but that doesn't mean that all the people of America are Christians and fear God. If people truly feared and respected God, we would not see the things that we are seeing happening in our nation. People would not be killing people, burning other people's property, stealing other people's things, or disrespecting and belittling others. If people followed after God, they would be working together to better others. Loving all people, respecting authority, being in God's house, worshiping him, and preparing their life for the life after this earth called eternity. Absolutely. It all begins here. No respect for God. And then what's manifested in the lives of the people is that it leads to no respect for parents and really others. We see that played out in our nation today. But our focus here is that Samson doesn't have any respect for his parents because he doesn't respect God. Look at how this is played out. We're going to read verse 2 again here in Judges chapter 14. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well, or she is right in my eyes. She's hot. Right? Here's the thing. As you turn from God, as you do your own thing, as you walk according to the flesh and not the spirit, that inward dryness is going to be manifested in outward actions. And that's exactly what we see here. The vertical axis of Samson's life was off. And that vertical axis is his relationship with God. And because of that, his horizontal axis or his relationship with others is off as well. And we see that with his parents. But I'm sure it's not just his parents. I'm sure it's with everyone. Because Samson has no friends. Samson saw this beautiful Philistine woman. He's smitten by her, wants to marry her, and he tells his parents that, right? And his parents, being good Jewish parents, understood what God commanded. I think they knew the Lord. And they tried to tell Samson, look, son, this isn't a good idea. It's better for you to marry of the children of Israel, some of our family, whatever. But don't go to these Gentile nations, these uncircumcised Philistines. There's plenty of Jewish women to pick from. And what does Samson say? Get her for me, for she pleases me. Here's this man of God, right? Samson, called from his mother's womb, who was walking by sight. She pleases me, and not by faith. And because of his begging for this woman, his parents give in, and they're going to make the arrangements for this marriage. And we'll see that as we continue on next time. Now, here's the thing, and this is just for parents, grandparents. You know, don't compromise what you believe. Don't compromise about what God has said just because your children are pressuring you. And believe me, I know, they are very good at it. Can I have this, Dad? Can I have it? Why can't I have it, Dad? On and on and on it goes. Until you finally go, oh my gosh, I can't take it anymore. Just get it, right? No, don't do that. Or they make you feel guilty or whatever, so you just cave in. Don't do it because you're not going to help them. I realize this isn't politically correct, and you know me, I'm never politically correct, so I'll say it anyway. As a parent, you're not your child's friend. That's just the reality. You're not their friend. There are times that your relationship is really good, right? Yeah, when everything's going okay and they're getting what they want, everything is fine. But when you have to say no, everything changes. And now you're the devil. You are the worst parent in the world. I hate you. I never liked you. I can't wait to get out of this house, right? You still need to be the parent and do what's right, no matter what. It's a hard one. We're to train up our children. And for Samson, yeah, he's older. But I think his parents did cave in and give him his request as a child. And this is just the fruit of that. I don't think he was, I don't know how old he was here. Maybe he's 18, let's say. And all of a sudden decided, hey, I'm going to go down to Timnah and see if I can find a woman there. No, I think this is just the pattern of Samson's life. He got what he wanted because he was selfish. It was all about him. And he's playing the card once again, pressuring his parents to give him something that he wanted, even though he shouldn't have had it. Hey, you know what, Mom, Dad? God called me from the womb. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God is upon me, man. Give me this woman. Right? Look at the disrespect he has for his parents here. It started with a disrespect for God, the upward. Now it's the outward. The inward reality, I'm not listening. The outward reality is reflected in his not respecting his parents. They say, son, there's plenty of women in the children of within the children of Israel. Take one of them. But no, he refused to listen. Disobeying the Lord, disobeying his parents. Let me just share this. This is from 2019. And it says, by now you have likely seen the California McDonald's fight that is making its way around the internet. As Yahoo explains, the fight began when a young mother asked several teens to leave the McDonald's play area where her two young children were playing. The teens did not take kindly to this request, challenging the mother to fight instead. When she refused, the teens took the fight into the restaurant and began hurling items at random, breaking a monitor and nearly hitting an employee in the head. The final tally of the fight: several thousands of dollars in damage, some minor injuries, and one very shaken mother. And who can blame her? Assault isn't exactly what one expects to encounter when taking your children out for fast food and playtime. But if we're honest, should we really find such an incident surprising? Probably not. There are a few factors at play here, both of which have become a prominent aspect of our culture. The first is the prevalence of a prolonged childhood. a state which is marked by immaturity and dependence upon peers. Once upon a time, teens were individuals on the cusp of adulthood. As such, they acted responsibly, many holding jobs and devotedly bringing home financial contributions for the benefit of their parents and younger siblings, rather than killing time with friends in a play area at McDonald's. Family doctor and psychologist Leonard Sachs explains what we see instead in his book, The Collapse of Parenting. In American culture today, same-age peers matter more than parents, and parents are reluctant to change the rules, to insist, for example, that time with parents and family is more important than time with same-age peers. Because parents are suffering from the role confusion, they are unsure what authority they ought to have and how to exercise it. As a result, it's much harder for American parents to teach Pflugum's rules to their kids. And the older the child, the more true that is. In one study, the attitude of American teenagers toward their parents was described as ingratitude seasoned with contempt. But the second aspect at play is the lack of respect not only for parents, but for all adults in general. The fact that teens refused and attacked a concerned mother over a simple and reasonable request is evidence that we've somehow drilled into kids that they know better than those older and wiser than themselves. Wow. I don't know if some of you have seen some of the Facebook footage of some of the violence towards police officers. But there was one where I believe it was a brick was thrown at a police officer. He had a helmet on, but hit him in the back of the head and knocked him to the ground. He was dazed. And they're filming all this to put it on Facebook, right? And everyone in the crowd where this brick came from is cheering, yay, look at him. What happened with our society? How do you get joy from hurting someone like that? Because you don't fear God, you don't respect God, and thus you don't respect anyone. This is what the ramifications of a nation that has turned from God. And again, we like to blame all kinds of different people, things, but that lack of respect for people is a result of not respecting God. Wow. Let me share Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4 with you. You'll see how this has played out. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Wow. The actions that are manifested in their lives are not a result of anything but this. There is no fear of God before his eyes. And apart from God, we do our own thing. We do what makes us feel good. We do what we think is right. There is a way that seems right to man, but it's a way of destruction for him. There's the problem. God knows the way we need to take. Man doesn't. And without a plumb line, guys, your walk is all over the place. It's off. I want to share this with you. It's about a heartbroken person. And the reason he's so heartbroken, this person is so heartbroken, is what they see happening in America. And again, this is from 2019, so very recently. I was raised to have manners to say please and thank you, and to always show respect to my elders, whether I knew them or not. That's what my parents and grandparents taught us. We were also taught to be law-abiding citizens. So what happened here in America? The lack of respect is an ongoing problem everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You see it in public places like stores, restaurants, parks, and on our busy highways. What is even more disturbing is the lack of respect given to our men in blue or police officers, law enforcement. Again, Facebook, I don't know if you've seen it. This old man, probably 70, 80 years old, was just walking in a store. Not bothering anyone. He was walking down an aisle. This black man came up, and this is on security footage, and smacked him to the ground and beat on him. He didn't even see it coming. The guy hit him from behind. Why? I don't care what this guy did. He didn't do anything. But what if he did something? What if he cut in front of him in line or something? So what? So what? Goes on, I'm in utter shock that people have no problem killing officers today. What did Brian just share about what went on? And we're seeing this over and over again. It's a sad state of affairs. Where did this element of people come from? It feels as if something worse is on the horizon, though I'm not sure what. Maybe they should pull violent video games off the shelves because it's clearly out of control. People are becoming so desensitized, it's alarming. Recently, two officers were killed in the same day in Wisconsin, different incidents. Today, I was reading about another officer that died when responding to a store robbery in St. Louis, Missouri. What I found so disturbing was that the clerk actually streamed his death while on the ground on Facebook. What the blank was that about? She should be fired. Before the officer's family could be notified, it was on live streaming, and he took his last breath. So instead of helping this police officer who is dying or calling 911, she's filming it to put it on Facebook with no care that maybe his family would see it. Wow, what has happened? I grieve over America. I realize we're not here to save a nation. We're to bring the gospel to a lost and dying generation of people. But I grieve over what I see happening. Says, I'm so deeply saddened and sick of society's behavior. Talk about lacking respect. Every single day that these men and women put on their uniforms, they know there's a chance that something bad will happen. But they do it to keep us safe. Like our veterans have and those currently serving, they all deserve respect. Last year, someone from our church brought over some cake over to the police officers and some bookmarks for them. Just to say, hey, we love you guys and we appreciate the work you're doing. They were so thankful because of all the bad things that are out there. Someone is actually saying, thank you for doing your job. When I see an elderly or disabled person walking towards a door or trying to cross a street, I show them respect and help them. That's what everyone should do, but it doesn't happen. I respect the illegal immigrants that file their papers and try to do it the right way when entering America. I do not respect those that barge through and feel entitled regardless of what our laws say. This is a problem within our society. If people don't respect the law and we let everyone stay, what does that say? We need to uphold law and order, but instead, some look the other way. Where are the morals and values, America? Like the clerk that streamed the officer's death. She might have been able to save his life, but oh no, she streamed it instead while watching over him. We cannot have that kind of behavior in our world. It's not okay. For what it's worth, parents, please teach your children to be respectful while teaching them that there are consequences when not following the rules. Just like the laws we have in place, choose to make a difference. It may save a life. Can we have respect for people apart from God? Well, in a sense, we can. Let me explain that for a second. God has built into our consciousness the knowledge of what's right or wrong and wrong. Even if we don't know God, that's there. Well, then why don't we see that today? Here's the problem. We've hardened ourselves so much to God that our hearts have been calloused and we have no more feeling of what's right or wrong. We only do what we think is right. We're numb to what God is saying. All this behavior we're seeing, this lack of respect, this lawlessness, is a result of self-love or selfishness. It's all about us today. Well, wasn't that about Samson? Get her for me. She pleases me. It's all about me. I don't care what you guys think. I don't care what God thinks. She pleases me. We've looked at these verses before, but I think we see this unfolding today right before our eyes. What Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of themselves. Now, as you read that, there's some 19 general characteristics of man. a time of social disintegration. The wickedness of man's heart manifested in his actions. Paul says that these things will climax in the last days, or in the days we're living in now. And we see it happening right before our eyes. You know, the prophecy conference, the title of it was In the Days of Noah. Well, go read in Genesis 6 what the days of Noah was like. Violence in the land. Man's thoughts and intents of his heart were continually evil, or on a daily basis, continually, all day long, evil. That's where we're at.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.